Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, in recent days, we've been hearing about patients with advanced cancer losing out on access to new treatments unless those treatments are covered by their health insurer. One of the drugs in question, Trodelvy, is also not available to those receiving cancer treatment through the public system, but funding is currently being examined by the HSE. Well, my next guest, Gabrielle McGovern, has a terminal cancer diagnosis, and she's among those waiting to hear about whether that drug will be available to people without health insurance. And Gabrielle joins me on the line now. Good morning, Gabrielle.
Good morning, Claire. How are you going?
Good. Thanks for joining us this morning to talk about this. Now, the Minister was here earlier on, the Minister for Health. Mm-hmm. He didn't have an update for us while we were on air, but he has been back in touch to say that Trodelvy has gone through the health technology assessment stage. And he says, crucially, that the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics has recommended this drug. Mm-hmm. So now where we're at is the HSE is in negotiation with the company on pricing. And the Minister says he hopes this is good news. Yeah. But of course, it's subject to a pricing agreement being reached.
Yeah.
So what's your reaction to hearing that today?
Well, of course, I mean, the NCPE have made that recommendation in March. So, I mean, I'm really well versed on what the NCPE process is. But the problem is now that it's actually finished with the NCPE, it's gone into like the void of the HSE and the process as to how it goes from not approved to approved is completely like opaque. There's no way of knowing what the process is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been trying to find out from his office and from various other government agencies. Because at that point, it's kind of disappeared. You don't know what's going on. And I'm waiting to see if it's going to be approved so that I can basically live longer. You know, and I have no idea where it is in the process, and you're just left in this horrible limbo.
And look, can we just talk about the timeline here for you on this drug and why it's so important that you find out today whether you're going to get this or not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was diagnosed with my primary cancer in February 2021, and then I got my kind of terminal diagnosis in September 21, so only 6 months later. So basically, I've been battling breast cancer since September 21 with various chemos. I've had about 6 or 7 different types of chemo. None of them have actually worked. They've kind of held it at bay for a month or two, and then it started to regrow again. So the hospital, St. James's Hospital, managed to source a couple of cycles of Trodelvy for me directly from the manufacturer of the drug. And it's shown to be really effective. It's shrinking my tumours. It's given me a much better quality of life compared to the other chemos that I've been on. And it's just like made me be able to actually spend quality time with my children. So if I don't keep access to it, if I don't get any more Trodelvy, basically I'm back to where I was, and that my chemotherapy will be really not very effective, will make me kind of really sick during the day, during the week, and basically won't keep me alive for very long.
And the Trodelvy is allowing you to live as normal a life as you possibly can.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, like it's night and day compared to the previous therapies that I've had. Like I could be in bed for nearly a full week after having a previous type of chemotherapy. This one, the next day, I'm kind of up and about. I can go bring the kids to the park, you know, just normal everyday life things. Whereas before that, it could be 7 to 10 days, I'd be really sick, nauseous, in bed, not really able to do anything.
Mm-hmm. You have two little boys, Gabrielle, is that right?
Yeah, I have two sons, Oscar and Scott. Scott's 3 and Oscar's 5. So, I mean, Scott was still a baby when I got my diagnosis, you know, he wasn't even 1. So to them, it's kind of a normal everyday life, but it's still really hard to look at them knowing that, you know, I'm going to die. Like, and Trodelvy is the one drug that's keeping me. Sorry.
No, listen, I'm amazed that you're able to talk about this, because to have to do it in a public way is it's devastating, really.
Yeah.
And you have those 2 little boys to think about. Mm-hmm. And I know that this whole thing, this whole campaign, the reason why you're talking to me is because of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if I had some idea that the Trodelvy was coming, like that the process would be over in 2 weeks' time, I could say, well, that's okay, I can relax, that's fine. But if it's not going to be for another 6 months, like if I don't get the drug in the meantime, my cancer will essentially kind of learn around it and it won't be effective. So if I have a gap in between having Trodelvy, these few that the hospital managed to get for me, and a big gap, and then it won't work basically the next time around. Yeah. So I really need to make sure I have access to it continuously.
So how many doses have you had, and how does it work, and how is it spaced out, and how have you managed to get the Trodelvy? Yeah.
So my consultant pushed with the drugs company, and I'm not sure exactly what she did, but she managed to source 3 cycles for me. So basically, it's a 3-week cycle. So on day 1 and day 8 of the 3 weeks, I have an infusion directly into my vein, so an IV infusion of the chemotherapy, and then a break, and then it all starts again. So it's 3 weeks. So I had 9 weeks of Trodelvy so far. So I had the 3 cycles. And now I don't know what's happening with the 4th cycle. I don't know if I'm going to get it. I don't know if the manufacturers are going to give it to me, or if the HSE are going to provide it, or the hospital will buy it. I've been trying to crowdfund myself to get it. A friend of mine's doing the mini marathon this weekend, and she's been crowdfunding. So, I mean, I've got, it's about 12, 13 grand per cycle. So,
and can you do that if you had the money? Would you be allowed to go and purchase it?
That's another uncertainty in my life. I don't actually know. I'm presuming the drugs company would allow you to buy it. I mean, they're allowing VHI to buy it. You know, that's what the stories in the Times there came out. You know, so the VHI can buy it. So I don't see why I couldn't buy it. But again, they won't talk to patients directly. The manufacturers, my husband Jason tried to call them, and they were like, oh, we can only speak to doctors, we can't speak to patients. So mm-hmm. we're kind of being stonewalled every turn around this.
So when are you due to start the next cycle?
Well, I should be due on the 8th of June, but I don't know if
so. Just over a week.
Yeah.
Oh, so, Gabrielle, you've no idea whether it's going to be there for you or not.
No idea. So it's just adding to the, you know, the situation is obviously terrible as it is. And it's just adding more uncertainty and more stress and anxiety to the whole thing now. So, the crowdfunding, the GoFundMe has like €6,000 raised, and I need 12,000 per cycle if I even can buy it privately like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's still a lot of uncertainty in life, and it's extremely stressful.
And Gabrielle, before you got cancer, before you got your diagnosis, mm-hmm. you were a civil servant, so you know all about how the systems work and how tricky it can be to get through the bureaucracy.
Yeah. Look, when I worked in the Department of Justice, and I had they kind of sponsored me to do legal training, so I actually like studied law, so I'm very aware of like due process and all the rest, and you know, fairness and equity, and the general civil service ethos of transparency and things like that. But like, there's none of that being applied here in this case. And like, when the drug goes from the NCPE process to into the void of the HSE, like nobody can tell me who is actually making these decisions. It's like, who is the HSE who has the decision making power? Mm-hmm. You know, so I am acutely aware that there's lots of process and procedures that have to take place, and I appreciate that. Like, and when I emailed the minister's office back in November asking him about the drug, it was still going through the NCPE process, and he said, oh, I can't interfere with the process, and I kind of went, okay, that's fair. He can't interfere, you know, that's fine.
But now we know that process is over. So the negotiation is happening on the price. But what you want to know is, how far away are we from a decision here? Because I have just over a week.
Yeah.
And have your healthcare providers told you what will happen if you don't get this dose on the 8th of June?
Well, I mean, they just kind of said that, yeah, the cancer will kind of, it will have time to readjust itself and work around the drug, so it won't be as effective if there's a big gap in treatment. So if it takes them 6 weeks to give it to me, basically my cancer will have learnt in the meantime how to get around it, and then the drug definitely won't be as effective as it is currently. Mm-hmm. But at the minute, it's like shrinking the tumours, which hasn't happened in nearly 2 years of treatment. And as I said, it's improving my quality of life and stuff. So, I mean, if I don't get it, I'll have a much shorter life. You know, the doctors, they're very reluctant to say that, you know, oh, you've only got X amount of time left to live. Because obviously, nobody can tell the future. But they kind of say these things without saying these things, you know. So they're saying if you don't have it, your life will be significantly reduced. But, I mean, it's already significantly reduced. You know, I'm only 38 now, so...
And you were saying difficult. Earlier that what the drug has allowed you to do is spend time with Jason and, mm-hmm. and the two boys, with Oscar and Scott, and yeah. that time is quality time. That's yeah, all you want, exactly. isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Like, I don't want anything crazy. I just want to be, like, live for a few extra months with my children and my husband. You know, they're so young, the kids. They're, you know, Scott probably won't even remember me, you know, and when he's older, because he's so young. But if I can stay alive a bit longer, he might have a few memories, you know, from when he was four. He'd go, oh, I remember when Nanny did this. But, you know, if I die tomorrow, he's not going to really remember. And I'm really aware of that. And it's really difficult to talk about.
He will remember you. Does Oscar know what you're facing? I mean, I know he's only five, but I mean, I have a five-year-old myself, and she knows everything. So,
yeah. I mean, he does, and he does. I think he knows more than he lets on. You know, he knows Mummy has to go into hospital for like special medicine, and it can sometimes make me feel a bit sick. And, you know, I've got a kind of a tumor that protrudes out my chest wall, and he knows like not to touch there because that, you know, that's where Mummy has her big ouchie and stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So he's aware in a kind of a kid sense. He's not aware of the terminal diagnosis, obviously, because he doesn't need to know that until the time comes. But he's very sensitive. You know, when I'm going into hospital, he says, "Oh, Mummy, have you missed me and the doctors? You know, send me a hug and things." You know, so like he's aware it's affecting him. I know it is affecting him, but there's only so much we can do around that as well. You know, I mean. We are where we are. I can't change things. So I'm trying to make sure that any kind of memories that we have are good ones of me being able to get out and about and not stuck in the bed.
Which is why you and know. Jason don't need this stress of not knowing where the next dose is coming from.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So just so we're clear. So, you know, if people are listening who can have an influence on this decision, we know that they have decided to buy this drug, that it works. But they're obviously negotiating on price. You just want to know, where is that negotiation at? Is there any hope of you being able to get a dose of this drug on the 8th of June?
Yeah.
And if your friends who are fundraising can come up with enough money to pay for it in the meantime, if that decision isn't made, are they allowed to do that? I mean, you'd like that question answered as well, wouldn't you, Gabrielle?
Yeah. And I mean, that's just one dose, you know. I mean, that's the 8th of June, then I'd be due again another 3 weeks after to start again, another €12,000.
Yeah.
So, I just need to know where the process is and who are making the decisions. If they make a decision to not buy it because it's too expensive, like, where does that leave me then? You know, can I appeal that decision of theirs? Like, there doesn't seem to be any sort of due process around this particular area of the procedures. So, that's what I want to know. Like, how, you know, I heard the minister earlier talking about the drug for those children that they got for cystic fibrosis.
Keftrio, yeah.
And he said, oh, we moved that along quickly. And I wonder what process they used to move that along quickly. Can they use that same process to move the Trodevli along quickly? And if so, why can't that be applied in my case? Right. You know, so... Look, there's a lot of questions and not a lot of answers.
I know. And you need those answers and you need them quickly. Gabrielle, thanks very much for contacting us, and we will keep in touch with you and we'll try and get some answers for you. And I want to wish you and Jason and the two boys well.
Thanks a million, Claire. Very good. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Thanks, Gabrielle.
Bye.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.